Awesome. Thank you. And the second.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
It's that time of year, Michael. The last episode of the... Well, yeah, kind of the last episode of the year. But a very, very important episode. The holiday Christmas spectacular. Mike Berlew, Merry Christmas. How are you down in Georgia?
I'm doing well, Scott. I gotta be honest, as Christmas is coming up, I've been checking the mail. I haven't seen my Verbal Shenanigans Christmas bonus yet. I've been meaning to talk to you about that. Any update on that?
It's on its way. When it got sent out? It's on its way. Okay. I should receive notice when it arrives at your door. It could just be lost in the mail again. It's just weird how that seems to keep happening year after year after year.
Yeah, because I figure after 5 years, when all five of those checks show up, I could just quit my job. I mean, just to be prepared, I actually cursed out my boss today, so I'm really looking forward to seeing that piece of paper.
I mean, you can quit your job, and yes, it is a piece of paper, but that's really about it. It's a piece of paper.
Oh, I made a terrible mistake once again.
Don't worry, our net profit here is in probably the negative thousands, but that's okay, guys. Welcome back. Welcome to, I don't know, one of the episodes we kind of look forward to each year. We usually try to do something Christmas themed for Christmas and Halloween themed for Halloween. I know, very, very innovative we are. But wait till you hear our Arbor Day special this year. It is going to be lights out. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, we found a guy named Daniel Arbor. We're really hoping he's wildly entertaining.
I heard he's tremendous.
Yeah. He runs a box company out of Des Moines. So I can just imagine how many stories he has on his fantastic holiday.
I hear he's so good you don't want him to leave.
I don't get it.
Yeah. All right, guys, that was the Christmas episode. I hope you enjoyed it. It took a lot of work, a lot of effort. Yeah.
We would like to thank Bob Hope for showing up. Came back from the dead just for this episode, but we ran out of time. Sorry about that.
But if you are just tuning in, if this is your first encounter with us, this is Verbal Shenanigans. We are a weekly show. We're about 270 episodes in here, around there. And we release basically every Monday, Tuesday, around there. And we've been going at it for a long time. Interesting guests. We try to bring on people of all walks of life, whether it's athletes, musicians, I don't know, actors, scientists. I think at this point, I don't know if there's not too many markets we haven't really played with as far as trying to get someone. I can't think of too many.
Pod conventions. We've talked about it, but we haven't got the solid guests yet.
I mean, we've talked to priests. We've talked to, you name it, exorcists.
Authors, cave dwellers.
KP has an apartment now. Don't call him a cave.
Good for him. Good for him. Comedy's looking up for that little man.
But anyway, welcome, guys. Michael, I think I'm feeling the Christmas spirit at this point. I got I probably didn't really feel it. I had kind of two little Christmassy things go on this weekend. Two little get-togethers. The girls that we're friendly with got together at my house and they made cookies. So that that was kind of fun. There was Christmas music going on, and I kind of felt it. I finished my Christmas shopping like 2 days ago. I picked up one little thing today, and then I had a little rotating Christmas party on Saturday where it was three different locations where you went to our house for appetizers, another house for like a dinner portion, and then the final house for dessert. It was very Christmassy, and it was very festive, so I feel maybe the Christmas spirit's here. This year, I don't think I'm searching for it.
Ah, sounds like a little lake life pub crawl there.
It was. It was. That's exactly what we were calling it. We were like, it's. We were saying it's the Indian Lake pub crawl because we walked. You didn't have to drive anywhere, so that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But once again, this is the second time that I have failed at a holiday drink. Okay.
Really?
Yes. So I may have talked about this before, but if I didn't, if I did, who cares? About 2 years ago, maybe two or three years ago, I was listening to the Pete and Sebastian show. Okay. Pete Corielli, who we had on the show, one of my favorite interviews, very funny comedian, and Sebastian, a little comic named Sebastian Maniscalco. He's up and coming. So
he'll get there. I saw him in an open mic once.
I just read that he bought Gwen Stefani's house, like 21 point something million dollars. I'm like, wow, that guy has soared to the top of the top, man.
Like, you gotta keep up with it. Like, after you do that, it's like you can't bomb. It's like, guys, listen, I don't want to end up at a Spice Girls house. Come on now.
Well, it's funny because he had a role in The Green Book. And that won an Oscar. And then there's a good chance The Irishman wins an Oscar this year. And this guy's like just breaking into acting, so he just keeps his stock just keeps going up and up and up.
Will Jeff Paul get the Oscar so we can bring him back on?
Sure. I don't know if we have. There's something I don't think we've had on the show. I don't think we've had an Oscar winner.
Best supporting of a supporting of a supporting of a supporting of a supporting actor.
I bet if we dig deep, we can get like a editor or like a sound engineer or something like that that's won an Oscar for best something.
I want a gaffer.
Well, you know what, buddy, dreams do come true, and I think we can make that happen.
2020, fingers crossed. Come on, man.
Let me tell you something. 2020 is looking good for the podcast. Looking at our schedule ahead, a couple interesting ones coming up. I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody, but at least the next couple weeks are going to be pretty cool for the listeners. I'll give you that. But what is this thing? So I was listening to the Pete and Sebastian show, and Sebastian Maniscalco talked about this eggnog recipe that he had. That he had made, his grandmother had made, and he like it was in some cooking magazine, and then he makes it every year or whatever. Now, this is not like get the store-bought eggnog and add like rum and cinnamon or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, this was like whipping the eggs and adding heavy cream and heating things up and letting them settle. Like, it was like eggnog from scratch.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, all right, well, that sounds fun. I like to do stuff like that when I have time, like try something.
Mm-hmm.
So I make the nog, okay, and I'm following the recipe, and I add the bourbon. Now, I like bourbon. Not everybody loves bourbon or whatever it was. And right away I taste it. I'm like, whoo, okay, this is a little bit on the boozy side. Okay, now I kind of liked it. But so I bring it, I have it, and I start with like my mom and dad, and they're like, that's all right. Woo, that's booze. They're like, oh my god. Now I
like that's a serious drink when you take a sip and then you try to keep it as far as away from your body as human and possible as you extend your arms and go woo.
So I didn't make a small. I made like a big giant pitcher of it, like enough to serve like a whole party's worth of people. So I let
out. Did you keg eggnog?
Kegnog?
Did you kegnog?
So I make the eggnog, and it's just really strong. So I got to bring it. So I let my mom try it. I let Alex try it. They're like, oh, it's pretty good. But you can tell when someone doesn't really like something pretty right away. You notice that drink doesn't ever, like, go down.
Yeah, it stays at half a cup the entire night, and then every time they see you, they do the pretend sip. Liking that eggnog, Scotty!
They just wait until they get near the sink and do the old chuck it down the sink or leave a glass somewhere. That's not mine. So now I'm like, okay, well, I'll bring the eggnog to Christmas Eve at my aunt's house. So there I am. I show up with my a gallon of Nog, try to give it out to people. A couple of people are like, oh, it's pretty good. And, you know, same reaction. No Nog drinking, really. Half-empty glasses of Nog. So I leave Christmas Eve still with at least a half pitcher of Nog. So I have to try to bring it the next day to my wife's parents' house for Christmas dinner. I'm like, oh, I brought the Nog. And like they're like, oh, we like eggnog. I pour it. They have it at dinner. Same reaction. Oh, that'll make you warm. And the problem is, like, you can't. I should have like added the liquor as I went and tasted it, you know, because you can't take it out. You know, you could always add more.
You would have to add more eggnog to balance it out. You can't water down an eggnog.
No.
It worked.
Yeah, it wasn't like I could add more club soda or something like that. Okay. So,
well, I'm drunk and bubbly at the same time.
So literally, like, it's the day after Christmas, and I'm like, well, I made all this Nog. Someone's got to drink it. So I tried to finish the Nog. Even I was like, I can't finish this. And I had to probably dump a quarter of the pitcher down the sink. So that was my first one.
I just still imagine you, like, walking around your neighborhood with, like, gallons of eggnog. Come on, guys! Come on! It's not that bad!
Nog here! Cold Nog!
Door-to-door Nog!
So, come on, Nog on my door. Anyway, so, to this year, one part of our rotating party was that each house would have like a drink, like a fancy, you know. So it was like part of the fun. So again, I look up this kind of cool drink, this snowstorm margarita it's called, and it's like coconut milk, tequila, orange liqueur, coconut rum. I candied cranberries to put on top. There's mint that goes into it. Honey I had to add to the. No, it was a process again. Okay, process. And I like to host. I like to do things that I don't know. I enjoy it. It stresses me out, but I enjoy it. Like I like to do. I don't know. Try something different each time. Mm. So I'm doing these things, and we're getting ready with the appetizers, and I try now the drink. Okay, I couldn't make any beforehand. I just went for the whole batch, like when everybody arrived. So I didn't really get a taste test.
Gotcha.
And again, I'm like, you know, I'm pouring the tequila into the measurements. I'm multiplying by how many drinks I have. I'm like, this seems like a lot of tequila, but I don't know. You know, you when you make margaritas, you use a lot of tequila, so I don't know. So again, the drink, I make it. I mean, it's got the mint. It's got the cranberries floating on top. It looks beautiful. It looks like something out of like a food magazine, a cooking magazine. Like, what the drink? What the syrup?
Something you can Instagram to people to look important.
Exactly, exactly. Maybe if I remember, I'll put it up on our Instagram and be like, look how pretty these look. turns out it wasn't the case. So we all, like, I hand one to everyone. They're like, what's in it? I'm like, oh, it's like a margarita. No big deal. We hung in a circle. Like, cheers to new tradition, blah, 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 blah. And, like, everyone takes a sip, and all you hear is like, whoo, or like, ha, like, wow. Like, that's boozy. So right away, like, so they say there was 12 people. Right away, like, six bow out. And then you see kind of like every – you see like your close friends trying to kind of hold on to the dream for you. Like,
they're like – they're picking out a cranberry and sucking on it. Just the small things. Like, I can't drink this thing, but at the same time, I can't let my boy hang out there.
And it's like, oh, it's pretty good. And, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes go by, you still see all the drinks full, and you see, like, people, like, saying, like, oh, when the ice melts, it's pretty good, it's better, which is always a sign that it's like, yeah, it was too strong. So I get through mine. I actually didn't think it was terrible, but I know that, like, I have a higher, like, I don't mind a boozy drink. Some people, like my mother, like, you could probably, like, rub your finger around the outside of the glass with booze, and that would be enough for her. Like, she'd be like, "Ooh, this is strong." I'm like, "Mom, that's ginger ale, you know?"
Yeah, but you poured a beer in here 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. So I look over by the sink, and there's at least 8-9 glasses all half drank, and with the cranberries kind of floating miserably on the top, and the mint dripped over like the top of the glass, and I'm just like, God damn it. Again, another drink I couldn't add anything to, because it was like I used all the coconut milk I had, so it wasn't like I could fill them back up. It was just, I'm like, 0-2 for holiday holiday drinks for this guy right here.
And this is, you're the first house of this like crawl. So, like, I just imagine you with your head down and your jacket on, it's raining, like the theme song to the Peanuts is playing in the background. Honey, you okay? I'm fine, all right? I'm fine. And then you're sipping other people's drinks. It's all right. It's not. Stop drinking it, man!
Yeah, it's almost worse when your wife's, like, being, like, fake nice. Like, it's okay. It was pretty good. It was pretty. And you're like, it was terrible. I know it was bad. You know, like. But other than that, the party was a great success. And it started from it actually started as an idea I had, because I used to do that as a kid for Christmas. We'd go to my aunt's and do a rotating party for, like, appetizers, desserts, and things like that. So it's kind of fun if you live close. Obviously, it doesn't work if you live, like, hours away. But,
like, maybe what we should do as a running bet, like, in September, you got to start, like, figuring out your drink. Like, you're just mixing stuff in September. Because that way, then you have a full 3-4 months to get the correct item. That's true. All. I mean, I know it's going to be kind of hard. Like, what are you making? And all? I'm making figgy pudding slushies. You know? but it's Labor Day. I don't care. I'm going to be prepared this year.
So I just,
I'm not going 0-3.
So I serve the holiday drink throughout the year, just perfecting it. That's not a bad idea.
Like, you at Halloween, you're passing it out to kids. And how's this taste, kiddies?
All right. You know, that's not the worst idea in the world.
I mean, it's up there in worst ideas for myself, but
No. That can't be anywhere near your top worst ideas. There's no way that is even close.
I mean, maybe we should look back and all, like, what our final episode will just be the top 10 Dole Berlew moments.
Maybe I should do a 30-day show.
Berlew, 30 for 30.
No. Christmas drink, whatever. And I'll just...
Oh!
30 straight days of Christmas drinks and rating them and modifying them and then developing a serious alcohol problem with 30 days straight of drinking. But, you know. So, that was a dud. But, you know, it was fun. It turned out to be
maybe
fun.
Just, like, pour some... fruit punch into some vodka next time.
I mean, I got to show you how these things looked. They did look phenomenal. If no one touched them, they could have been decorations.
I mean, they probably are decorations. They're probably hanging around your house right now.
I washed
them. I'm going to put my eggnog in the tree.
Why do you have all the half glasses from last night on a shelf? They look great.
Shut up. Feliz Navidad.
So, Mike, to segue out of I guess I'm not a mixologist, I guess is what I'm saying. I guess I'm just I'm more of a hick, I guess. I just load things up with booze and serve them to people, and I would fit maybe better down where you are.
Yeah, I would bring you down to Talladega with your eggnog, and I think the race fans would really enjoy it.
There's an image. People getting all ripped up on eggnog before a NASCAR race in July.
We love you, Dale!
Woo! Nog! Well, anyway, so I gotta say, we have done a couple Christmas episodes now, and we always bring on a Christmas themed guest. One year we talked to a reindeer farm, which I really enjoyed. We talked to Ian Petrello from Christmas Story. We talked to the Christmas Story Museum. We talked to the guys from Tree Man. There's a documentary about a tree. So we've had a couple guests over there. We talked to Santa Claus.
That's true. Yeah,
guy who was a professional. So we've been doing this for a while, and this year was looking grim, Berlew. I was
ready to announce Christmas was canceled for all the kids because we didn't find a guest yet.
This is a Christmas story. This is a podcast Christmas story right here. Yep. In the waking hour, Witching hour.
I think both work.
I guess so. I was sending out feelers. I got a couple of no's. Just too busy right now. People from some Christmas movies we might know. And I started thinking about some other things rather than just Christmas movies and Christmas songs and whatnot. What reminds you of Christmas? And I started to think about, okay, we live near New York City. Or, well, you did live near New York City. What screams Christmas? Now you think of the Rockefeller Center tree. You think of maybe Macy's, the windows. But you also think of the Christmas Spectacular. And that can mean only one thing, Berlo. And that's the Rockettes.
Oh, I'm glad you answered because I would have got it wrong.
So everybody knows the Rockettes. Everybody can the iconic Rockettes kicking, dancing, doing their can-can that is oh so popular. You know them from the parades and the shows. So today I was able to reach out and find a former Rockette by the name of Heather Berman. Now Heather is an actor, a dancer, a model. But we're going to talk to her a little bit about all of that, and we're going to get her on the line. So, Berlo, it's a Christmas miracle. We're going to get Heather on the line.
All right. Go Christmas.
Go Christmas. So, Heather, we'll jump right into this. First off, thanks for giving us a few minutes on the show here. We appreciate your time.
Oh, well, thanks for inviting me.
No problem. So this all kind of started, every year we try to bring on various, Christmas guests, if you will. We had on, Santa, we've had on a reindeer farm, we had on, people from Christmas Story, and this year we were getting down to the wire and couldn't come up with anything new, and suddenly the idea of a Rockette popped into my head, and I started searching Twitter and started searching Google, and I ran into your profile, and not only do you have that on your resume, if you will, you have a lot of other acting, dancing, modeling, things like that, so I figured you would be a interesting guest to talk to.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, that's good to know that I'm Googleable.
Heather, it's 2020, basically. We're all Googleable.
Yeah. On the side, don't Google our names. You'll be terrified.
I think I tried to Skype with somebody that's not you. Do you have something that says Scott B and you have a hat on and you're, like, smiling?
That might be a possibility of what we're talking about. That might be an old Skype account that I have.
See, because it came up as verbal shenanigans.
Oh.
But I tried to say hi to Scott B, and that didn't work, so.
Well, most likely, if it's verbal shenanigans, that is me, so don't worry. You're not saying hi to some other weirdo, just this one.
And then there's a Scott Brennan, I tried to talk to you too, but there's no picture there. So people are probably thinking I'm crazy at this point.
It's okay. Who knows? Okay. We're all crazy. So
basically, if you have a good conversation, it's not us.
So let's start, you know, kind of what got us into finding you. And that is the idea that we are talking to someone who was a former Rockette. Was this a goal of yours to become a Rockette? Was this something that found you the opportunity, or was this something that you actively pursued and wanted to do?
Well, actually, I moved to New York to be on Broadway. So, you know, as one of the auditions that are available, you know, is the Rockette audition. So,
really?
Yeah, it was just kind of, you know, one of the many auditions that I went to. And the first year that I auditioned, I got a letter saying you have all the qualifications to be a Rockette, but there are no spaces available. Mm. Now, so then, you know, so I didn't get it the first time I auditioned for it.
Okay. Ooh. So what are the qualifications needed for Rockette? I know I've heard like there's a height and obviously some dancing skills and probably a certain look, but what are the requirements?
Well, you know, Rockettes are professional dancers. So mm-hmm. Most everybody would have had ballet, jazz, tap, we had to sing and do an on-camera interview. It was a two-day audition.
Jeez.
I mean, it's major. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, same with Broadway. I mean, you got to go through the ringer to get these jobs. You know, callback after callback, hundreds of women, you know, it's, you know, but it's kind of like part of the whole thing. You know?
Right.
Your whole life is really geared for all these auditions. You know, you start young.
Well, when you're doing this audition, are you specifically doing like the dance of the Rockettes, or are you just like showing off all your different skills?
No, they'll give you a combination that they want you to learn, and you have to learn it and do it right then and there. So there's going to be some type of ballet combination. There's going to be like a typical Rockette type of a routine, like with kicks. You know, it really depends on that year with that choreographer. There's definitely going to be a tap routine you got to do. So it's rough. Yeah, but that's kind of how it is when you're a professional dancer. You learn these routines and you got to do them like you'd been rehearsing them for weeks. That's part of your skill, is being able to pick up a combination and do it on the spot, smiling and looking fabulous.
So you get the job a year later. I didn't.
Then the second year I went and I, same thing, got the letter. You have all the qualifications. There are no spaces. Then I was actually studying acting in Shakespeare by then, because it was kind of, I don't think I got it until my later 20s. I had already toured Europe. I had already done a lot of things by the time I was Rockette. So I think I'd come back from Europe or something, and there was a letter asking me to audition, because I wasn't going to audition again. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, they invited me to come audition. So then finally, you know, stars aligned, and I got the Rockettes that year.
Okay, so that's interesting. So you get the Rockette thing, and now clearly we know that around, you know, the holiday time, that becomes I'd imagine almost a full time, every day, all day kind of thing. But what, like you said, you were kind of going through, you were working on acting, you were working on Shakespeare. Does that automatically just become, okay, this is what I'm doing now for the next couple months, or is this like a full time job? What is the work schedule like for a Rockette?
Well, you know, you rehearse, you'd think you'd rehearse a lot longer than you do. It was so long ago, I don't remember exactly, but it wasn't that long. Maybe 3 weeks of rehearsal. I mean, you are busting your butt all day long. So you're learning a lot quickly. And then, you know, you're performing 4 shows a day. So yeah, it's full time until like beginning of January. So I would say from October to January.
Well,
yeah.
And what's your life around? I mean, are you capable of going out and doing other things, or is it like a contract where you say, well, you can't do other jobs while you're doing this?
No, no, it would just be during that, you know, during Christmas for the Christmas show. Yeah, that's it. Now, when I was the Rockette, it was quite a while ago. So there was what we had, the roster. So when I became a Rockette, there were 2 teams, so we did half schedule. But there were women who had been Rockettes for, say, 20 years or more, some of them.
Jeez.
And they were on the roster, and they would do all the shows. But they don't have that anymore. Everything is very different now because Madison Square Garden bought the Rockettes. At the time I was a Rockette, it was a private company.
Hmm.
It's very different. And we were taught by the old Rockettes. You know, now it's all different. The only original choreography left is the Toy Soldiers.
Right.
So everything is all new now. Now, we had some older routines, you know, and older costumes and stuff. And then we had a couple new routines.
Okay.
Now it's all new, you know, all new show.
Huh. So now, I think of my 7-8-year-old niece, and she was enamored by seeing the Christmas show and meeting a Rockette afterward. What was that like for you, all of a sudden, just kind of being part of this... guess you could say, iconic imagery that we know. And we don't know, we usually don't know them individually, but we know them as a group, and we know that look, and we know that dance. What was it like all of a sudden becoming like, okay, like a, almost like a symbol for young kids and even older families that look forward to this? Was it like a kind of a shock to the system, or did you just kind of, was it just, you know, you just kind of took it in stride?
No, it wasn't a shock because, you know, you, like I said, you kind of, you know, your whole life is about, I mean, if you're pursuing it as a profession, you know, your whole life is kind of geared for, you know, this kind of thing, you know? So, I mean, it's definitely exciting to say you're a Rockette and you're on, you know, you're on TV. I was on David Letterman. I did the parade, you know, I did the Macy's Day Parade a couple times. I did the tree lighting. We did other events, you know, here and there.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a highlight of your career. It's a big deal. I mean, you know, it's an iconic dance troupe from the 30s, you know, it goes way back. And, you know, I grew up watching the movies with this style, you know, Busby Berkeley and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it was cool that I was doing it, you know, and now with my career, I have a little entertainment company, so it helps. It's kind of that title kind of helps you, you know,
for sure.
In a lot of other ways. It kind of,
I mean, look, it's gotten you on this podcast. That's got to be on next. On the-
That's right. I'm on Verbal Shenanigans.
I mean, that's going to be top of the website tomorrow. No, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, though. Like, but I, like you said, it's been going on since the 30s. What is the give us like the I don't know, the background. Like, is there like older Rockettes like passing down knowledge to the new ones? Is it like, oh my God, she's been here? Is there a seniority kind of thing? What is it like behind the scenes?
There was
as a
kind of a seniority, but we were nervous wreck because, you know, the older Rockettes knew everything so well, and we were like, you know, shaking in our shoes, you know, to make one little mistake, you know, because you can't make any mistakes. It's stressful.
It's interesting. It's
very stressful. But it was neat to, you know, see all the families out there. I mean, that stage is amazing. It's kind of overwhelming. It's huge. Radio City. I mean, performing at Radio City is overwhelming. Yeah. It's a gigantic stage, and it's full of, it's elevators going up and down.
Right. Yeah. It's just a beautiful looking stage too. I mean,
yeah. Now, I'm glad I did all that when I was young.
Now, in between sets, is there like a camaraderie with all the other dancers, or is it just
We had a great, we had a good time in my dressing room. We were, you know, a lot of the girls that I auditioned with, you know, prior for Broadway and other jobs, I, you know, we got in at the same time. So I had some friends there, you know, that I knew for a long time.
Now, I got to ask, is there a dark side to the Rockettes, like as far as like being fit, being a certain body type? Like, you know, you kind of hear about, especially a little bit, a couple decades ago, as far as, you know, being a certain figure. Is there a dark side that we don't know about that is like very restrictive or demanding?
You know, I hate to tell you, I just have always been thin.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
I don't know what about other people might have had issues, but I never had an issue. You know, I just was a dancer. I have a dancer body. I ate a certain way.
Yeah.
I was thin, you know, athletic.
Right.
And I danced all day. I mean, I go to class and dance and work out, you know, it's just like a part of my life. So I can't tell you that. No, I did not live the life of some crazy person like that. What was that film with the, you know, what was that called? That ballet film. They always, you know.
Like Black Swan.
Black Swan. Yeah,
that's exactly what I was. That's what I was thinking about.
Sorry, you know,
that kind of thing.
I can't help you with that. No.
No, that's good. That's good. That's a good thing.
I mean, I'm sure there were people, you know, that had problems with their weight and did various things, but I didn't really know about it. Yeah. I mean, we were all the people I was hanging out. We were all professional dancers. We all looked good.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you guys probably had to be a certain height, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. At the time, you had to be 5'5" and a half, Okay. I'm 5'6", so I was fourth from the end, so I'm on the shorter side. But I have long limbs, so you wouldn't be able to tell.
Now, so how long did you end up being a Rockette?
I was only a Rockette for a couple of years. I did it because you had to audition every year, and I was kind of moving towards acting at that point.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, well, let's talk about it. I mean, you've done some acting, dancing, modeling. I mean, I even see you've done some comedy in your time. I mean, what kind of drives you? Is it the opportunities available or just what's kind of exciting you at the time?
Yeah, I mean, what drives me? I came out of the womb wanting to be in this business. And now what drives me is just, I don't know, it's fun, you know? It's different now. You know, when you're young, you're like, everything's like death, you know, blood, guts, and gore. And then eventually...
Yeah, that's how I describe the Rockettes, too, you know?
You know what I mean? Like, you know, you have to make it. I gotta make it, you know, it's like, I don't know, you change, you shift. You know, you see life differently.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I audition a lot. You know, I like the work. I like creative work. That's what drives me, you know. And why not? I live in New York. Absolutely. You know, why not do it? You know, if my agent gets me an audition, why not take the opportunity, right?
For sure.
Oh, no doubt.
And I've trained. You know, it's not like I didn't, you know. I really worked with incredible teachers to learn how to act, you know, just like I did with my dancing. So, yeah, I think I like to challenge myself. I think that's it.
Well, speaking of challenging roles, I got a question. I was on your IMDb. I must find out about Smash Moron, Intergalactic Dolt.
Do you know that was one of the kookiest, most fun, goofy things that I've done? It was supposed to be like a Mobi film. Like, it was supposed to be on your mobile device.
Okay.
It was like one minute episodes. That's what it was supposed to be. And I guess the director, he's now passed away, wrote it, you know, kitschy, very kitschy. I love stuff like that. I like really creative, interesting stuff. Yeah.
So what was that?
The princess.
The princess.
Yeah. Did you watch it? It's on my YouTube.
Oh, no, we have...
Oh, we got to check it out.
We might have to have
a
pairing, and I just saw that. I'm like, all right, there's a question in there.
You know what, Mike? Let's cancel the Christmas plans and get together and watch that instead.
And I did a web series, too, that's very funny, that's on my YouTube, too. I'm like another type of, like, I don't know, some kind of prince... not a princess, but... what's my name? Venora. I'm like from the outer worlds, you know.
So
and it has kitschy, you know, funny special effects.
I love it. I mean, you look at your website and it's kind of like it's like a smorgasbord of like different experiences in town. So what do you like? So what are you doing now? Are you focused on acting, dancing, or are you still kind of like a free agent to just like creative roles? Like what is your focus?
Yeah,
now?
No, I'm retired as a dancer, but I am still an actor, and I, you know, I audition for a variety of things. Sometimes it's a commercial, sometimes it's print. I do a lot of film and TV auditions. I mean, I just spent this entire month every weekend putting auditions together for a variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we have to self-tape. We have to create the tape at home and then send it to our agent, and then they submit it to casting, and then casting submits it to the client or whoever, the director or producer.
I mean, if you just tell them that you were on Smash Moron, you should be landing every gig you go for.
That's right. Tell them. Tell them that I should be, you know, I should be the star in the next whatever film.
So,
you know,
so is this how you, do you live solely on acting, or do you do the day job thing too?
No, I do. I live solely on acting and dancing. And
wow.
I have my little entertainment company. Okay. So sometimes I book ballroom and Latin dancers for events or musicians or bands. Yeah, all kinds of little things. Sometimes I do trade shows where I help people out at trade shows.
Uh-huh.
I do that too. Yeah.
I got it.
Well, but all of it is kind of, all acting involved.
I got to ask.
Even so that you got to get flown out to Bordeaux, France and all with Grey Goose even.
You guys really looked at my... Isn't that a funny website? I have to update that website because it has Flash in it. And, you know, can you imagine? And I was one of the first people who had a website. So you can only imagine. It's so outdated. It needs updated.
Well, your tagline shouldn't be, I was one of the first people to have a website. If
Well, I mean, actors, you know, they're always slow on the uptake usually, you know. Yeah. I don't mean in general. I mean, like, within the industry, you know? Yeah, exactly. Oh, so what are you asking me now? What about, what were you asking?
Grey Goose. He said you flew to
Grey Goose. Oh, yes. Oh, my God. That was after the Rockettes. Yes, I launched Grey Goose, and they flew me on the Concorde.
Oh, wow. Nice.
With some other lovely ladies. Oh, yeah, that back in the day. Sidney Frank, he developed Grey Goose, and he was very, he was a character. And we danced about Grey Goose.
You did a Grey Goose dance?
Dance, yeah. I mean, it was hilarious.
Did you have, like, a Grey Goose bottle on you, and you're just, like...
I think we had a martini glass or something. I think that was involved.
I'm just picturing, like, using your two hands as, like, goose heads.
You have no idea. I have been an elf. I have been a Elmo. I have been a clown. One time, this little boy, he said... I was at a party, I'm dressed in a clown outfit, and he said, are you a real clown? I was like, yes, I am a real clown. As opposed to a fake clown.
I love it. I love it. So,
yes, and I was even an elf at Christmas time once at a school, and I greeted the children as they walked in, and the child said, I don't know if you're a real elf. You're kind of tall to be an elf. I said, well, there are tall elves.
Well, I may not be an elf, but I am a Rockette, you little shit, you know?
Yeah, right.
That's right. That's awesome. So,
you know, I live to tell the tales, you know?
So what are you working on now? Like, what are your current projects, or what are you doing? What are you up to now?
Well, you know, I do have a lovely team building class that I like teaching to corporate people, or even just not so corporate people, but businesses, where I take the ballroom and Latin dance, because I also do that for fun. I used to perform, but now I'm, like I said, I'm retired from performing, but I still love to ballroom and Latin dance if I can. But I take the principles of ballroom and Latin dance and the Rockette kick. It's the perfect team building exercise because you have either two on the team, or if you do a line, obviously as a Rockette, you got to work as a team, right? Otherwise you're going to fall down.
Right.
Mm. So that's my latest little project.
Mike is your.
So I don't know if any of your listeners are, you know, into team building. Mike, they might want more shenanigans. I don't know.
Mike, I think your team could use a Rockette training center, session.
Yeah, I can lift my leg about 8 inches off the ground. Is that enough, or did you guys go further?
Well, we don't do high kicks. Don't worry. I only do very low kicks, and then I also do it for seniors, too.
Yeah, I'll take the seniors class. I'll work on that. That's my kind of coordination in there. <It's awesome>. You know what, Heather? I mean, listening to all the different things you do, and you seem very happy and bubbly and all that. You always hear stories about these young kids wanting to go to New York and L.A. and, you know, I want to be a dancer or an actor or stuff like that. What kind of advice would you give to these kids who kind of look at that big dream?
Well, I think, you know, it's good to train. You know, you got to learn how to do all this stuff. So if you're dancing, it's a good idea to start young and go to class every day. I mean, there's no easy, you know, I don't think there's no easy way to get there. I mean, you know, you see these people who make it, you know, from YouTube or something, but that's not common. You know, right. Most people are going to class for years and years on end. If you're going to be a dancer and then acting, I mean, acting, you can get away with things because there have been people who made it without the training, but I don't suggest it. I think it's good to have the training. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, the minute you walk in the room, they know.
Right.
You know, people, you know what I mean? Like, even me, I already had training as a musical theater performer, a dancer, but I really wanted the basics of acting. So I studied Meisner and Shakespeare and voice and diction so that, you know, the minute you, you know, especially if you're going to do theater, you really need to have a good vocal ability. And it helps you for film and TV, too, because you have a certain depth to your voice, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
That's awesome.
And also, and you just got to go for it. You got to go for your dreams in life. That's what I believe in. You know, I mean, look at all these people that go for it and you would never expect that they would make it. But everyone doesn't make it to be a star, but it doesn't mean you don't have a career doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't realize like that you could do work still and you know, find work and be, you know, do make a perfectly fine living just working and working at it and grinding at it. So, it sounds like you got the right attitude. So, Heather, I want to thank you so much for giving us a few time, especially on such short notice. So we really, really do appreciate the time. You were a really fun guest. You're really fun to talk to, and you got a lot of things that you've done and hopefully continue to do. So I want to thank you for giving us some time.
I'm hoping to do stand up. That's going to be my next project.
Don't
do
it.
I want to face my fear and do some stand up.
Well, maybe we'll work. Maybe we'll work together soon.
You do stand up.
Unfortunately, yep. Yes.
You both do?
I used to. He still does.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, we should stay in touch. Do you come into New York and do it?
I do.
Good.
I try to get into New York once a month and kind of do a couple spots, and I'm out of Jersey mostly, so. But yeah, for sure.
Cool. Well, thanks for having me as a guest on your show.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for saying yes.
I'm honored.
If people want to like find out more about you and check you out, what's the best place for the gum? Guys, if you go to her website, you can find out she is an 8 in her shoe size.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, you're an 8.
On my website, it says 8. I don't even know. Oh, my sizes are on there?
Really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh geez, I think you
pretty much have everything on here.
My entire life. Did you see? I grew up doing burlesque too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
You can get all of Heather's stats, but you need Flash installed on your machine.
Well, I am on Instagram, Heather Berman NYC. Twitter, Heather Berman NY. You found me on Twitter.
Awesome.
And LinkedIn and Facebook, it's all Heather Berman, either NY, I think NYC on Facebook. My company, HB Productions, is on, I think HB Productions NYC is Facebook for my company. And, I always post on Instagram. I like Instagram. That's my favorite place.
Awesome. Heather, thank you so much, and good luck, and have a Merry Christmas, and you'll always be my favorite Rockette / size 8 wearing guest that we've had on the show.
Yeah. Aw, thank you. Merry Christmas.
You too. Take care. All right, Heather Berman. Mike, she was fun, man. A lot of fun, warm personality. Put me in the Christmas spirit even more.
Yeah. I mean, I feel next year when you do your little group crawl, you should all be doing like the Rockette kick as you go from house to house.
So I'm inviting Heather now? Like she's coming too?
Well, no, you guys all do it yourself. I mean, maybe invite her to like watch you and critique you. You know, you're trying to kick as you're holding on to your latest concoction that nobody's drinking.
What if that's like the... when people come to my house, that's like the surprise. I have Heather there, and she teaches like a Rockette lesson to everyone at the Christmas party.
I mean, that's going to be hard to beat after that. I mean, after eating appetizers and doing Rockette kicks, I'm not sure who's going to get excited about going to the next house.
There you go. I mean, I'll be like... Guys, try my drink, and then let's do Rockette kicks.
Oh, what the hell's in here?
No, she was awesome.
No, I don't want to dance with you.
She was awesome. So go check out Heather. She's got a lot of her. Like I said, her website has like a million things to kind of putz around and figure out. So
We didn't even touch on her being Florida woman on the John Walsh show.
Oh, yeah. Florida woman, Mike, was the I don't know if you knew that, but Florida woman was cut out of the latest Avengers film.
I was very upset when they put Black Widow in instead of Florida woman. I'm like, she would have been the perfect Avenger. Like, she'd been avenging stuff she just made up as she went along.
She just, like, take bath salts and turn into, like, the Florida Hulk. Now, let me ask you something. Do even Georgians make fun of Florida?
Like, I haven't had many conversations about it. I would guess not really, considering we're neighbors to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's...
I mean, a lot of people go there for vacation, but, yeah, but I'm sure most of them, there's a reason why they come back to Georgia.
But listen, everybody goes to Florida for vacation. New Jersey, half of New Jersey goes to Florida for vacation. I think it's about living in Florida in the retirement and just going there to die, and some of the drugs that are down there that make them the butt of a lot of jokes.
Well,
crime.
Yeah, maybe I have to. I mean, I've only been here for about a year and a half, so maybe I gotta like peel this onion and find out. All right, where's the secret society where we can mock Florida together?
You got to remember, you lived in New Jersey, New York, and New Jersey made fun of each other for centuries now.
Oh, don't forget Pennsylvania, Philly style.
There you go. Exactly.
We're all pointing at each other.
So I wanted to talk about something else Christmassy here. Now, Berlin, have you ever, now you and your wife have been together for a while now, celebrating Christmas, birthdays, and all sorts of gift-giving holidays, Valentine's Day. Have you ever started a tradition with any gifts that maybe you you kind of regret now, that because now you're like, oh crap, now I got to do this every year, or she expects this?
I will say not in Christmas time, but in February, where I have the first date anniversary, the birthday, and Valentine's Day all in 3 days, giving her three cards and writing three different phrases on these cards, like actual like sentimental things. That gets rough, and you know, like the anxiety kicks in around like late January. I'm like, oh crap, I gotta figure out all this stuff.
I think you guys are married now, first date anniversary can go. I think that one could be dropped. You got Valentine's Day and birthday.
I concur, but there's no sign that it's going to be willingly dropped, would be the answer.
Just be like, look, if you ever want to go to Disney again, we got to be done with this first-year anniversary crap. First date anniversary. I don't know my first date.
Yeah, maybe I'll just say, all right, I'm going to write something, but it's going to be a pretty sucky phrase. I got to be honest. It'll just be something like, hey, cool that you're here. Glad we dated.
Maybe
and
that's
then get
maybe,
to the good stuff.
Yeah, maybe that's your way out. Just keep getting worse at it. Be like, yeah, just start signing just your name.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott, I thought it was brilliant. Turns out I got divorced.
just put our website link and then your name on.
Our first date reminds me of the time we talked to the Midnight Sweats.
So, yeah. So I a couple years ago, my dog, who is very very often a member on the show, not so much in this house too much. He kind of stays downstairs, but. You've heard him on many episodes. He started to occasionally chew apart my wife's underwear.
I think I've heard of this, yeah.
Yeah, so he would randomly bite a little hole. Never touched my underwear, I don't know. But bite holes in, she'd go to put them on. There would be random holes in. So about 3 years ago, I started going to Victoria's Secret and buying her underwear from the dog. Okay.
Okay.
Now, this was a great idea the first year. It was cute. You know? Oh, sorry for chewing your underwear. Here's some more. Did it the second year. And now it's become like almost like an expectation. Like, to be like, oh, I know I'm going to get some underwear for Christmas, so I shouldn't buy any. I'm like, oh, God.
Now, like, is this, you don't bring up while you're purchasing the underwear how, like, this is from my dog.
No. My dog wants to buy some underwear. I don't know what section would be good for him, but.
Yeah. So, what would be erotic for a Beeble?
So, I don't know if you've ever bought underwear for your spouse there, or if you've ever been into Victoria's Secret. It is a, for a person like me, it is a absolutely miserable, miserable experience. One, it's like 100 degrees in there. It's always hot. And the minute you go in there, there's everyone I just feel is looking at you like, what is this weirdo doing in here? Like, you're invading their property.
And hey, you're a really tall guy, so instantly it's like you're going to capture people's vision in the room.
That's what I mean. It's like this big, pale, 6'4", like, doofus entering this pink castle that is just everywhere you look. It's women looking at, like, thongs and nighties and teddies and things that, and you're just trying to be like, I'm not looking at any of you ladies. No eye contact, please. Let's keep this business, you know. We're here for business. That's it. I'm not invading your space.
You're coming in there with, like, a briefcase and some glasses and, like, blood. All right, I want to talk to the manager. I want to make a transaction.
So, right away, I'm not good at this stuff. I become, like, I'm instantly hot. I'm sweating. Now, I go the other day, and my wife won't listen to this anyway, so it's not spoiling anything. I go to buy her underwear, and it's only 2 days before Christmas. I guess the underwear is at a limited availability come that time. Okay? Now, I don't remember her size, okay? And I'm thinking I remember, and I usually go for, like, I think it's usually, like, five pairs for, like, $27. It's, like, a deal. Like, they have, like, a thing.
Yeah. So, just out of curiosity, since I haven't shopped there, and I don't think ever, but, like, it's still, like, sizes, small, medium, large. We're not talking about, like, numeric.
No.
Is your wife a 28-inch waist?
Right, no. It's small, medium, large, whatever.
Okay.
Gigantic. I don't know. So I'm, like, looking for the two for the whatever, five for 25. And there I am. Just, I am so embarrassed, like, being there that, like, there was, like, a couple women at the big kind of, it's like an area where there's a bunch of shelves and you have to go through them and look. I just waited, pretended I was on my phone until they left. And then I, like, pounced real quick to try to see if there was any. But there was, like, nothing. Everything was gone. And then, like, another girl would, like, come back and start looking, and I would pretend I was on my phone and walk away.
I really wish one of those people were, like, a worker, and, like, you were, like, on a conference call for 2 hours in Victoria's Secret.
So there I am. There I am, this 6'5 mook, just going through, like, holding up, looking through sizes, holding up. I don't know if she likes polka dots. You know, like, just, you know, just awkward. And I just, I don't know. Are you comfortable in, like, a situation like that?
I haven't come across, like, shopping in that area. I mean, my wife likes cute stuff. I mean,
would you be comfortable?
If I knew that's something she wanted, I would make myself comfortable, or at least, like, the first thing I would do is I would talk to one of the salespeople and be like, look, you know, first time here. This is what my wife likes. What do you recommend?
First time here. What do you recommend for me?
Yeah.
Sir.
Hi. First time, long time.
Sir, you should go to the big and tall section over there. But, like, so, of course, I know, like, there's other guys in there, and they look kind of cool, calm, and collected, and I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I can't, I kind of can't get over my awkwardness there. So, of course, I find something eventually. And like I said, Christmas like ransacks the place. It's just you open the small drawer. There's every size. There's styles that are. And then you got to start thinking about what styles they like. And you can't remember. So I pick out. I couldn't find my 5 for $25 deal. So I went for the 3 for $30 or whatever it was. Okay. So you get in line. Of course, the line is massively long. Get to the register. All of a sudden, she's like, well, I can't sell these to you because they have no tag. I'm like, lady, at this point, you could sell me anything. I just want to get out of here. I'm sweaty. My back is sweating. Okay.
Scott, did you grab it off the mannequin?
see me rolling.
I gotta get out of here.
See me rolling down the underwear of a mannequin.
Nothing to see here. Just a 6'5" lumberjack disrobing a mannequin.
So of course I get to the register, and there's people building up behind me. She's like, "Look, I'll go find the right pair with a tag on them." I'm like, "Oh God!" So she's gone. 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes go by. Four. I'm getting hotter. I'm taking my jacket off. I'm like looking around, like trying to like focus on the sports games because I think it was yesterday. So the games were on.
Is that how you explain it to the girls? And all, don't mind me. I'm looking at sports games.
Exactly. Exactly. This is why I can't go in places like that. I'm too awkward. So she comes back. All of a sudden, she goes, "Oh crap! She gave me a pair without a tag again." 2 minutes go by, 3 minutes go by, 4 minutes go by.
I mean, I don't want to ask about your wife's undergarments, but it seems like she has very specific needs for her undies. If this nobody can find tags for this stuff,
no, this is the problem, Mike. One, she doesn't have specific needs. If they were specific, I would have a much more clear goal of what to go for and go right for it, get it, and get the hell out of there. I have to like be interpretive of this want and this need and this festering thing that is going on.
By the way, my garage band name was Interpretive Underwear.
Yeah, I know. You guys had a good stint in the 90s.
We had a good stint, man. We had a good year, and then we had to give it up.
You opened for Blind Melon, the Spin Doctors, and
yeah. I mean, it was a good run on the Warped Tour.
So now she gets the underwear, rings it up, okay, and it's ringing up like $68, and I'm like,
wait a minute, how many pairs are we talking?
Three, and I'm like.
It's, 20 each? Wow.
It said 3 for whatever, 32, I think it was, something like that. And she's like, "Oh, that's because this one's not the right one. I'll be right back." So I swear to God, I swear on my grandfather, another 3 minutes go by, 4 minutes go by, and I'm there at the front register, sweating, being awkward for probably equivalent of like 12 minutes total, like just standing there wanting to kill my, after being in the store for like 15 minutes total, ready to kill myself, get the purchase out. And then, of course, what do they put it in? A bright pink bag that you walk around the little mall with, this dainty little bag. I'm starting my own men's underwear shop for women.
See, you did a rookie move there. What you gotta do is go to the CVS first and like pick up a pack of gum and insist on a bag.
I thought you were gonna say go to CVS to get the underwear. I'm like, damn, Berlo, you.
Well, I mean, that second. just showing with that CVS bag. Looks like it's sexy time tonight.
I got a Gatorade. I got some underwear. We're ready to go.
Some orthopedic shoes.
I'm opening up my own men's play. There's gonna be college football on. It's gonna have more like a Foot Locker appeal. Those guys in the referee shirts, and you're gonna go into a private room. It's gonna be just you and the underwear. You basically make an appointment. You go in. You pick the underwear you want. No one sees you. They don't give you a pink bag. You put it in a toolbox, and you leave. It's gonna be called like Victor's Rumors.
I mean, the way you describe it, I imagine, you remember that scene in The Matrix where Neo meets, like, I forget the character's name, but it's like a god with, like, all the TVs around. Like, I just imagine it's a white room with just a couple TVs and some, like, candy show up on the TV and you go, number 34, done.
That's even better. You know how, like, you order a sandwich from, like, Quick Check or Wawa now digitally? That's even better. You walk in, just go boop, 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 hold the oregano and just order it.
Man, we gotta get an app designer on this. The Verbal Shenanigans panty line is just gonna we'll never do another podcast if this works, ladies and gentlemen. You will never get to hear from us again. So you're welcome if you get our app.
So yeah, I got the Christmas spirit, but that's the one thing I really dread about the Christmas season is that I started this dumb tradition. I don't see it ending anytime soon unless I end it, and then it's going to be, then why did you end it? Because you're such a loser that can't go into an underwear store?
I mean, you just know, like, the first year you don't do it, it's like, aw.
Exactly.
Looking forward to my underwear.
You could get her 15 other things, but I needed a couple new pair of underwear. So... that's my life,
babe. I'm too awkward. You're going commando this year. Sorry.
I'm a bad drink maker, and I'm not comfortable in an underwear store, guys.
That should be your intro every week.
Berlo, what do you got?
Scott, in the holiday tradition.
I like that you're wearing a holiday garb.
Yeah. This is my first gift. It's quote unquote my Hanukkah gift from my wife. I'm her little Olaf, so she got me a Disney sweater.
Did you just say the words
more for her?
I'm her little Olaf on the air.
That is what I've been informed by her. Not nothing that I declared.
Guys, you guys remember Mike, because this is the last episode he will ever be appearing on. Don't you ever come on here and say, because I'm her little Olaf guy, like, as if I was supposed to accept that statement without saying anything.
Well, I'm saying pretty much a ton that where you just accept it, so I figure I would just slip it in there with my usual banter.
You're too accepting of me. You take advantage of my acceptance.
Yeah. But, we did one gift for... Hanukkah. We're doing one for Christmas Eve, even though she just saw my gift. I was going to sneak it in her room, but apparently she went into her office, even though she's not working for the rest of the year.
CVS underwear?
No. You saved the big gift for last, Scott. Oddly, I know what my big gift is because she texted it to me.
Oh.
By accident. She was so excited. She was going to text her best friend what she got. And her quote to me was, "Damn it, you're not Erica."
What is it? What are you getting?
I am getting boxing gloves of the Infinity Gauntlet. Thanos' glove.
Yeah.
With all the gems on it and all, looks pretty freaking sweet. So
Gotcha.
That'll be pretty cool. But, in the Christmas spirit with all the holiday music, you're aware of the 12 days of Christmas, aren't you, Scott?
I'm aware.
Yeah, well, funny thing, there's apparently 22 well-known versions of the 12 days of Christmas.
Really?
And they seem to keep meshing around with what the days are. So I came up with a little game for you, Scott.
Okay.
I am going to say the day... and then three different lyrics. You're either supposed to tell me which one is a fake one or tell me all of them are real.
Okay. Got it. Simple rules. 50-50 shot.
Yep. So, day one. Your choices are partridge in a pear tree, sprig on a juniper tree, leaf from a figling tree, or all of them are lyrics.
So I have to pick out the fake one.
If you think there's a fake one, say the fake one, or say all of them are.
I'm gonna go with the sprig is a fake one.
No, I'm sorry, Scott. The leaf from a figling tree was made up. A sprig of a juniper was a part of the 1882 version.
God damn it!
As we all know,
I f- I feel like I should have known because there's no way you would know sprigling.
I didn't call it sprigling. I called figgling.
Oh, figgling. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. Figgling. There's no way that's in your vernacular.
All right.
But then again, you could surprise me and you could be like throwing the word figgling out all the time. Yeah.
That's the word of the year, 2020. Mm-hmm. Every guess, I'm going to have a figgling question.
All right, 0 for 1. I guess I can go 0 for 12 here, right?
Well, I don't have every day. Oh. I mean, some days they really mesh it up. But
okay.
Day 4,
mm-hmm.
collie birds, colored birds, collie dogs, or all of them lyrics?
Hmm. And what is day 4 normally?
Day 4 normally is collie birds.
Mm. All right, I'm going to go with all of them are true. All of them exist.
All of them are true.
Scott. All right, okay. Back to 50-50, baby.
All right.
They sounded similar, that's why. They sounded similar.
Day 6. Ducks a-laying, quails a-laying, geese a-laying, or all of them are lyrics?
I think ducks is not there. It doesn't sound the same.
I'm afraid ducks was a part of the 1867. Scott, quails a-laying did not occur. So I know about figlings and quails, Scott.
It's you should have known. What do they do in 1867? They don't know anything.
There's 22 versions from the original in 1780 up to 1966. So they played around with it.
We should make a modern day one.
I think I texted you.
Oh, well, no. Not a Verbal Shenanigans themed one. A modern day thing. Because half the kids don't even know what a quail is.
All right. Day 8, Scott. Normally it's maids of milking. Mm. But which one of these is made up, or are they all our version?
Yeah.
Boys are singing, hounds are running, ladies dancing, or all of them are lyrics?
That just sounds like a great time. Hounds running, boys singing, ladies dancing.
What, wasn't that your pub crawl?
Eight disgusting drinks. I could see it all. I could see it all. The hounds thing I'm leaning towards, but I'm gonna try. They're all real.
Scott, they are all real.
Yeah, 500 right. Still hitting 500.
500. All right, day 9.
Ted Williams didn't even hit 500.
Day 9. Bears a beating, lambs a beating, bulls a roaring, or all are lyrics?
Bulls are roaring. Come on. There's no way.
Scott, all of them are lyrics.
Bear News.
Today on Bear News, on the ninth day of Christmas, guy in Florida was punching a bear.
Oh, by the way, quick pause, guys. We did Bear News about 2 episodes ago, I think, or maybe even last week, but bear versus human or whatever, bear man versus bear, checked it out. Pretty terrible show. Pretty awful show. Looks very set up. Doesn't look real. The commentary is very stupid. Wouldn't recommend it. I would recommend our thoughts on bears way more than theirs.
Ah, once again, we beat TV.
Yep.
Scott, day 10, asses racing, cocks are crowing, balls are rolling, or all of them are lyrics?
Burlow, this is a PG-13 show. I don't appreciate what you're doing here.
You know it's a theme, though.
Yes, I did. One more time, please.
Asses racing, cocks are crowing, balls are rolling.
I'm going to go with ass is racing. Fake.
Balls are rolling, Scott.
That's... come on. Yep. Now I'm way under 500.
Yeah, let me try to find him. Ass is racing was part of the 1905 version, And Cocks a Crowing was a part of the 1900 version.
Cocks a Crowing, ass is rolling, balls are rolling.
Okay, day 11. Badgers baiting, bears a beating, dancers a dancing, or all of them are lyrics.
I got to go with bears because you had bears in a different one. So maybe that's not
it's
that
correct
day.
Because you are correct because the actual verse is bulls a beating on day 11.
All right, all right, all right.
There's a manly Christmas man beating up bears and bulls on Christmas.
All right, I got to be honest. I never understood the 12 Days of Christmas song.
Yeah. Day 12, Scott. Ladies leaping, fiddlers a fiddling, drummers drumming, or all are lyrics.
I go with drummers drumming because I think that was a different day.
No, I'm afraid it's ladies leaping. You might be thinking of the real version of lords a leaping.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, I think you got more than half wrong, but I'll still give you the tiebreaker question.
All right, good tiebreaker.
All right. If we go by the original 12 Days of Christmas, the most popularized one we listen to on the radio.
Right.
If we go by that, after 12 days, how many birds would you have in your house? Would there be 12, 16, 23, or 31? You would have a partridge, two turtle doves, three French hens, four collie birds, six geese a-laying, and seven swans a-swimming. Scott,
it's stuck at
Christmas drinks, and buying underwear. You have failed the holiday, my friend.
It's funny because I think the one interview that never made the cut, where we talked to that one woman who thought she was
Marilyn Monroe.
I think she had 33 birds a-leaping in the background.
I love Christmas. I'm Marilyn Monroe.
Burlo, before we go, it's been a fantastic show as always. What's the worst gift you ever got?
Worst gift? I would say I don't think I had a really atrocious gift. I know I brought up on the show before how I got a toy hovercraft one year that looked like super awesome on the commercials, and then when you charged it, it would only work for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
If they hit a leaf, it would stop. It literally stopped in the middle of our lake, and we didn't know how to get it back one time. But if I could say, like, I wouldn't say a bad gift, but a bad Christmas. I remember when I was like 15 or 16, and my mom's like, well, what do you want for Christmas? And I'm like, kind of like most years. I'm like, I don't tell people what to get. I'm like, just come up with something original or whatever. And God knows why, like, my parents literally got me like 10 pairs of pants. That was like pretty much my Christmas.
Like, after the first three, you're like, God damn it, more pants. And you're like, probably excited to open something different. And you're like, oh my God, it's pants. And then you probably look at the size of the boxes and go, oh my God, it's all pants.
That's what I'm like, even like some shirts, I'm like, all right, maybe it's like a Redskin shirt or a Philly shirt or something cool. And, oh, look, it's a collared shirt and pants. And I'm like 16. I'm like, yeah, I know I'm not a kid, but I'd like a little bit of excitement in my life.
Well, I mean,
pants ain't doing it for me.
You were their little Olaf. I mean, what are you going to say? I mean,
no, that came later. I am my wife's little Olaf, not my parents' little Olaf.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay. So I guess for me, it would be one of two things. One would be from an actual aunt. She gave me a Pizza Hut gift card, which I thought was kind of weird. Not that I barely have ever eaten in Pizza Hut, period. And two, my parents gave me, you know, back in the day, I played in a band and I played bass. And my parents, they were so excited. Like, I picked this package up, and they were so excited to look at it. Like, they were gathering around when I was, like, opening the present, and they were like, okay, open it. I open it. It's a Hawaiian shirt with all like black with all guitars all over it. And they were like, I was like, what is this? They're like, well, you know, we thought you could wear it at your gigs. I'm like, one, when did I join a Jimmy Buffett cover band? And two, I play bass. I don't even play it. So you think as a 17-year-old, I'm going to be wearing this button-down Tommy Bahama-looking guitar shirt.
Did they see ska coming and figured you would join one of them bands?
It would have worked for that. So, brother, I wanted to share before we go a couple. I looked up some people's worst gifts, and I also posted it to some of our fans. And we got a couple of responses of what the worst gift they ever received was. So I went to Reddit first. So someone received a rubber Hulk Hogan figurine glued to a very feminine toy horse.
What? It's like, is that part of the plan?
An elderly friend of the family gave it to me and wouldn't stop mentioning how they're supposed to look like that. Yeah, someone else said that they got expired chocolate. I mean, that could be a common one. Somebody once said they got a Ziploc bag filled with cotton balls with the word ghost poop on the side of the bag. Ghost poop.
I mean, were they a Ghostbusters fan or something like that? Or
somebody said they got A Knight Without Shining Armor, which is the name of the book written by Jewel, the artist Jewel.
That's random.
Yeah. Someone said they got a unwrapped box of number two pencils.
Hmm. I mean, that's practical if you're taking a Scantron test.
Someone once got a taxidermy deer hoof with a candle holder in it.
wow, that's specific. We love our West Virginia audience.
Someone got two rolls of pennies from their grandmother. Somebody got... Well, there was one more I thought was funny in here, but I can't find it. But let's go to our actual listeners. So, Jen Vix, who was on the podcast, she's a musician, got a lot of cool stuff. She said one time she was given a cheap potato peeler.
Did she ask for an expensive potato peeler? Damn it, you went to the wrong store.
So Jen Vicks, potato peeler. Darren Reed, a fan of the podcast, said work gloves. He got work gloves as his main Christmas present.
Main? Wow. Well, what is that, like $5 at Home Depot?
Yep. Let's see. Mike Brockaway. Mike Brockaway said, yeah, I wish I had a photo. A hideous sweater that had like a dog knitted onto it. So the dog was like 3D protruding off the already ugly sweater from my Nana, who was a serial regifter. I think she once gave my parents an Xmas present they had given her the year before.
See, that just sounds epic. Like that's something you wear to school at Pride, that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's one like, I mean, listen, the ugly Christmas party is not like an original thing anymore. That's one you wear. That's an original. That's a throwback. You know what I mean? Like, that's an original, original, you know?
Yeah.
Lenny Lefebvre, who is the proprietor of Denville Radio, where you can find Verbal Shenanigans, said, I'm just waiting for someone to say herpes. Berlew.
No, Izzy hasn't given to me that yet. She wouldn't give that to her little Olaf.
Stuart Ginsburg, fan of the show, says, socks at a Secret Santa. I'm at the age where I actually love new socks. I put socks on my Christmas list this year.
I got too many of socks and underwear, so I'm pretty set.
See, my socks, I feel like I just constantly lose them. They're just gone. Like, they just go somewhere. All right. Kate Higgins said pastel socks, a six-pack of pastel cotton ankle socks.
Man, that's pretty rough, that one. It doesn't sound comfortable.
And Linda Goucher, friend of the show, said a paper shredder. She once got a paper shredder, which again, depends who that comes from. And if it comes from your old parents, whatever. If that comes from a boyfriend, it's time to go. It's time to wrap
it's time
up.
To get serious, baby. We're going to shred some important documents for the rest of our life.
Including our marriage certificate.
Yeah. That's the gift I'm going to give Izzy on her first date anniversary, so that ends.
So, Mike, I think the Christmas Spectacular has come to an end. I got to go wrap some presents. If you've ever seen me wrap presents, it's worse than me being in the underwear shop. Or are you a good rapper? There's no way you're pretty. Are you?
I'm good. I am.
Really?
Seriously. I mean, I kind of space it out, measure it, cut it. I mean, once in a while it's a little excess paper, but it's nothing where it's like gaudy or anything.
I'm like I start the first two, I'm like pretty good, and then I start getting frustrated. I start taking scissors and just zoop and just tape solves all for me.
See, I'm pretty good, and like not only am I good, like I get like six or seven different wrapping papers, so like when she looks at the gifts, it's like, oh, it's all mixed up. It's wow. So pretty. It's visual before the event.
One time my parents wrapped all my presents as a kid. So my brother gets this nice red paper. Sister gets this nice green paper. My presents were wrapped, I swear to God, in a black Santa Claus wrapping paper that was see-through. I'll never forget that. I remember my mom, like, Santa looks black. I guess just the way the paper stretched, it just made him look dark and also see-through. And like, I'd be like, oh, it's a soccer ball. And I was busting her. Like, even then, I used to bust her balls and be like, because you could see right through it. Like, you could see, like, everything.
You realize you could have used newspaper and accomplished way more than what you did here.
Yeah, yeah. But Berlin, that was fun again, as always. Another Christmas episode in the books. Another year of rubber shenanigans in the books. We have our New Year's episode, which kind of counts. I guess it's the first episode of the year, last episode, whatever. But another great year on the show. A lot to be thankful for in my life, in your life, and whatnot. So before we get out of here, anything to promote?
I'll give a shout out to my sister, Dawn Smithy. If you're looking to buy a home down here in Georgia or Alabama, she's a realtor down here. She did great work up in New Jersey, and she's building her company back down here. So if you want to need some help in buying a house, contact her. Her email address is d.smethy, S-M-E-T-H-Y, at cbbullard.com, or you can call her 770-254-0079.
I wanted to give I just wanted to say from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you guys. We'll promote ourselves. That it's just Verbal Shenanigans has been through a long period. We've stayed together. We've had staying power, if you will. We're getting close to 300 episodes, so all the people that believe in us and have taken us on and put us on their internet radio shows like Denville Radio and
DCN Community Network,
ComingRightUp.org. There's been a bunch. We try to get our content out there. It's not easy. There's 3 million podcasts out there. We just hope you like ours and you can share it and promote it. And that's really it. Other than that, guys, I think it's time to call it quits on another Christmas episode. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Merry Christmas, everybody. Love you.
See you from your little Olaf, everybody.
Sleigh bells in the snow, the snow. Well, then I am dreaming of a white Christmas with a heavy Christmas card I write. May your days, may your days, may your days. be merry and bright. Turn me on, your Christmas is be white.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and the children listen to hear play bells in the sky. Yeah, 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 I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Christmas Eve.